This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And we want to jump right into it. And it's got to be Smooth Operators of the Week, brought to you by C&G Paving. And one that comes to mind pretty obvious with what we saw this weekend, Jeremy Wagner for Miller Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it was all about the offensive explosion for Miller in this tournament. 36 runs in three games. That's 11, 15. And then another 10 spots. So, yeah, they had one of those games or one of those weeks, and Wagner just hit in all three of them. But what he did in that second game, two home runs, the three-run homer to tie it up, that was huge. And then another two-run homer to put them ahead. And they needed those runs. They needed that insurance, and he gave it to them. You know, there's a lot of different moments in that second game, and we'll get to that a little bit later. There's a lot of different moments you can pick for sort of the rallying point, but that three-run homer, I mean, Lucas Adam talked about it after the game. He was just like, that got us so jacked up. And Wagner's the leadoff hitter in that lineup. And, you know, that's not where he was the previous two championships. You know, he was on those teams, but he was just asked to do a different job. And I thought he came out and really set the tone. I mean, he wore a pitch in the championship game to get on base, quickly scored, and then that sets off an 8-run rally there in the first. So just felt like he really did a great job of getting up there. Obviously, getting a lot of at-bats, seeing a lot of pitches, and just showing, as a leader of this team, what's expected at the top of the order. And I thought he delivered in just about every way he possibly goes. 7 for 12, 5 RBIs, 2 homers, 5 runs. That's a pretty good week at the plate.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, the thing, too, is just that they were really impressive from a – you know, there's just so many different new faces, so many guys from last year. Look, we're going to get into Miller's run in a second. Let's go ahead and get the other Smooth Operator of the Week knocked out. Callie Smith, Monticello High, 5 goals against Charlottesville, in a runaway win for the Mustangs. They're just gearing up in a big way, and she is so quick, so fast, does a tremendous job, too, of changing speeds like a point guard.
Yeah.
She's slow on you, and then, boom, she's right by you. I really love sort of, the way she's grown as a player over the last couple of years. She's really become a multi-tooled threat.
Yeah, I mean, the top speed is great in lacrosse, but if you can change directions, if those first couple steps are fast, that sort of agility, it just changes the game entirely. As a defender, it's just so hard to sort of react that you sort of think of the way a cornerback has to react to a route that's really well run. It's just so hard to defend when it's done well properly, and especially, Callie Smith is really aggressive, so it takes her game to a different level there.
Yeah, and the Mustangs, we're going to dive into them in a little bit, too. They're the top seed in the Region 4A tournament. Played really well on Monday night against Charlottesville. Now they move on. They play Hanover coming up. So a lot to talk about, but let's look backwards first. Miller Baseball's run to a state title, third straight state title for a program that's really become top-notch.
Yeah, and they did it without any of their starters throwing the way that they had hoped. I thought Garrett Payne did a fantastic job of battling through. It is very easy to go out there and do well when you have your best stuff. When you don't have your best stuff battling through, the fact that he was able to put together 2 wins and 10 and a third inning, I think he finished with 13 strikeouts between the two starts. They did a great job there. Ethan Chenault did his best in the semifinal game, and Stewart got to him that one inning. That was really tough. But it's just one of those tournaments where, okay, so the pitching wasn't all there, although the relief pitching for Miller was quite fantastic. Matt Sykes and those guys did a bang-up job. Maslov, all those guys sort of soaking up the innings that they had to. But, yeah, so it was just sort of one of those things like, all right, we got to just grit our teeth and get through this. The game Saturday was just stupidly hot. nobody was comfortable up there on either side. It was just sort of, all right, well, let's lean on the bats. I mean, that has not been Miller's MO in the previous two titles. They had some offensive explosion at the top of that order. I mean, they between Tanner and Hackenberg and all these guys.
Yeah. All-ACC, yeah. Ethan Murray. All-ACC freshman team, Ethan Murray.
Yeah, I mean, all three of those guys are, you know, Division I ACC players. So that's a lot of pop for a lineup. And this one was put together a little different. It's more of a 1-9, although in the second game, you know, it became about how hard you could hit the ball over that fence. The wind was carrying pretty good in that direction. And guys were just seeing the ball well. But it was this lineup, 1-9, it was more about the scrap. And, you know, there's a decent number of extra base hits, but mostly about just working up pitch counts, getting on anyway how. And they really showed that in that second game. I mean, the momentum that carried over to the first, the fact that they threw up an 8 spot in the first inning, it just sucked the life out of, the opposition there. It's just like, I mean, what do you do when you're an 8-0 hole?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to give Highland some credit. They found a way to sort of make it interesting there. I mean, 10-5 is still a pretty good, solid win, but they found a way to rally a little bit late there. But yeah, for Miller, it's this is a brand new group of kids, and they aren't losing much talent. Almost everybody's coming back. So, I mean, to say that they're going to go into next season with some confidence, they came in this year knowing that the bullseye is on their back. I mean, they talked about each game. We are the #1 seed, and people want to beat us as back-to-back champs. I mean, at this point now, Stewart's lost 6 straight games to them in 2 seasons.
Oh.
So there's a great rivalry.
It's got to be a lot of frustration for them.
Yeah, I mean, in that game, they're thinking, all right, we finally got the monkey off our back, and then here comes Miller with
a billion runs.
9 runs with 0 outs. Yeah, and then so just, I mean, that semifinal game was one of the most interesting baseball games I've ever come across. Certainly one of the most interesting high school games. I've just never seen in a late game, you know, because it happens there in the 5th and 6th, to see a team like Stewart put up such a crooked number on the board and then have Miller just, you know, take one inning off and then the next inning all of a sudden, all right, we're going to put one up ourselves, tie it up. And then the next inning, threw up another 5 spot. And you're just like, where did this come from? Because they did not look like that team attitude-wise in the first, you know, 3 or 4 innings. It's not that they came out flat, just, I don't know, they were almost too aggressive at the plate, swinging at, a lot of pitches early. And then they just sort of found themselves and stuck with them. So, I mean, quite the run, and this group is far from done. If they thought the bullseye was on their back this year, wait until next year. The really cool thing about the way all of this worked out is, you know, we got the Division II team got to play the Division I champion in the regular season. So Miller and Benedictine, those are
And they split, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just cool that they had that on the schedule. I mean, Miller also going to play Apollo 6. We're at the point where Miller's won so many of these titles, you know, 3 in a row now. Really, I'd love to see him play some St. Chris and, you know, some of those
Some talk that next year they're going to move into a schedule that's a little more independent, that's got some more big squads on it. And they still go down to, like, South Carolina and play
They play a fantastic schedule. And the kids from Benedictine warming up before Miller won its title, you know, the game runs late, so these kids are itching to get on the field and warm up. And one of them just turns like, there's a lot of big dudes on this team. sort of like a respect from Benedictine. Like, that is a Division II team that can hang with these Division I big boys. So it'll be cool to see what they do going forward. But we got to see some of it in the regular season this year. And then obviously their postseason success speaks for itself. Just a fantastic run. It's become the expected thing now. I mean, they've played in 6 straight semifinals. And they've been to, I think, 5 title games.
Wow.
So, yeah. And now they've won 3 of those title games in a row. That is quite the resume they've put together.
A lot of winning. So, they were the team that got the state title run done. Covenant Boys Tennis fell in the final in a match that went down to the wire. Took it to doubles and just a really tough matchup for them. But a great run by Covenant Boys Tennis. They played awfully well in the first 2 games. It really came down to that final. They rolled past Wakefield, then rolled again against North Cross in the semifinals. So a great run by Covenant Boys Tennis. Really had a lot of fight. Pretty tremendous effort from a bunch of guys that are several guys that are multi-sport type guys. You got Robert Wood from soccer, and then you got the #2 is a football guy as well. So just a great run for Covenant Boys Tennis. Fun to watch that happen. And then losing in the semifinals, Stab Girls Soccer, Covenant Girls Soccer, Stab Boys Lacrosse. Stab Boys Lacrosse just ran into a juggernaut in St. Stephen's St. Agnes. Couldn't get the ball in the third quarter. That led to them dropping it. Stab Girls Soccer had a tough own goal type deal for the first goal in their semifinal, and then it kind of snowballed on them a little bit after that. And Covenant Girls Soccer just ran into a really tough Nansman-Suffolk squad. So great runs by all three of those teams, all four when you throw in Covenant Boys Tennis. And certainly a lot of those teams bring back some key players, and we'll get a chance to see what they can put together next year.
Yeah, I mean, in Covenant Boys Tennis situation, it's sort of the same thing that they went through last year. You know, they forced a great match after, you know, facing a pretty deep hole. They were able to force doubles and get down to the wire again. So I'm sure that they're sort of just looking to get over that hump next year. That's a young group, you know, from last year that came back this year. So they've got a lot of experience going on in their favor.
And a proud tradition too, man. I mean, they used to win titles on titles on titles.
Deal. For Covenant Girls Soccer, that's their second trip to the state Final Four in I think since 2017. So it's good to see them sort of consistently putting themselves in that place. And then to have Stab Girls Soccer back in the mix, that's a team, that was a program that was regularly getting the job done. Big state title in 2014. So they're back in action.
They bring back a lot of young players.
Stab Lacrosse, I mean, I don't know what it is about that team. They run up against them, you know.
I think some of it with Stab Boys Lacrosse is just that winning a Division I title in boys lacrosse in the private school ranks is exceedingly difficult. It is a very, like, there are four, five, six juggernaut type teams that are just loaded with talented guys who have been playing together for a long time every year. I mean, every year, collegiate was a little bit down this year, but they bring everybody back next year. They'll probably be in that top five mix next year. You know, Blue Ridge is going to add guys, you know, to this group that they largely bring back. They're going to be in that mix. So even if Norfolk Academy or someone else cycles back out of the top six, the next two that show up are going to be darn good. So Stab has a lot of work to do with a vast array of seniors. There are a lot of seniors on that Stab Girls Soccer team too, but the Stab Boys Lacrosse team, so many seniors, so much high-end talent. It'll be interesting to see what they're able to put together next year, but some of it just really is Division I is very, very difficult.
Yeah, and St. Stephen St. Agnes is just that program that seems to have their number for some reason.
I mean, got them a little bit. Yeah.
State final a couple years ago between these two, and that was very close until the second half. And same situation, you know, just dominating the draw, and then, you know, guys that can shoot. I mean,
and the kid at the face off for St. Stephen St. Agnes is nuts. He's going to Carolina, and he just won a string of them. He was really tough, and so a brutal beat for those guys, but. A heck of a run, a heck of a career for that senior class. They just played really well. So that kind of closes the chapter on private schools for the spring. And now we can kind of focus. We have already started region playoff stuff for the public schools. And we have a bunch of teams that are the top seeds. So we're going to run through a number of them that have earned number one seeds. You know, first in tennis, Western Boys Tennis, Western Girls Tennis are number one seeds in their region. Those two teams are loaded up and will likely be playing for titles on Thursday when they get a shot at that. And, you know, they just top to bottom, those are two really darn good tennis teams. In soccer, Albemarle Girls Soccer, Western Boys Soccer, Charlottesville Boys Soccer, all top seeds. Shows you so. And Western Girls Soccer, I believe. Yeah, I got that. All right. Both Western Girls Soccer, Albemarle Girls Soccer, Charlottesville Boys Soccer, all one seeds. And, you know, that just shows some of the depth of what goes on in Jefferson District soccer. There's a reason why, you know, Albemarle, Western, Charlottesville, on the boys or girls side, have been involved in some type of state championship situation, some type of state title run over the last few years. Ton of really good soccer in this area, and those teams are playing really well right now. Albemarle Girls Soccer dropped the game to Western And then now they are kind of building towards trying to make a run here. They play in 5A. A lot of tough teams are going to be in that region. But they bring a lot to the table. Madeline St. Amant is so fast up top. Savannah Alexander is, roaming in the middle. Megan Chance on the back. I mean, Jaya Daniel at goalie. Like, they have a lot of players that are really, solid and are getting a chance to step into roles, into bigger roles this year for the first time. I expect they're going to be ready to rise to the occasion when it comes to the postseason.
Yeah, three Final Four appearances in the last 3 years. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, but they've got the pedigree.
Quite a program.
To go for a fourth if they can get all the right sort of matchups there and have everything work in their advantage.
Western girls soccer is looking for a third straight state title, like the Miller baseball squad. And they've got certainly got the top-end scorers to do it. The Berg twins are playing really, really well. Right now, they were able to get that win over Almar. That's a great way for them to finish. It allowed them to lock up the regular season Jefferson District title, give them a little momentum moving into this. Their region, besides Monticello girls soccer, that might be who they're going to see when it comes to the region.
It's a little different than it used to be. Blacksburg used to be lurking, and that was just they would play each other in the region and the state finals, and it's just it's a smoother path for Western girls soccer now.
Yeah, it's a little bit different ball game.
It's the same as true on the boys' side. It was.
Yeah, and you could see Monticello in the semis. You could see that is maybe the second best team in the region, and so that could end up being quite a challenge if they end up having to face in an elimination game. We'll see how the bracket shakes out. We got playing games coming up Tuesday night, so that's pretty great, and they've got the right pieces to make a really nice run. Aaron Meyer, Ellie Cox, a lot of good midfielders. Cordelia O'Connell came up with a goal against Almar after a really nice play by Meyer. I love what Western girls soccer is doing, and Almar girls soccer. Those two, when they get to test each other against each other, that's always a lot of fun. That was a great game last week, and now we get to see what kind of run they can make through the region. Charlottesville boys soccer, no doubter, number one seed, still rolling unbeaten through the Jefferson District. And I think that what's really interesting about them is that they've had some players come on a little bit later, have been playing really well. They're just really deep, and they have Kyle Leonard, who is fantastic on the back. And when you got a defensive player like that, it's just a comfort level because the odds of things snowballing when you have an experienced goalie in Nate Fisher and an absolute stopper in Kyle Leonard, then that it's very little chance. You could go down 1-0, but know that that's probably where it's going to stop. So you're only going to need two to get it done. It just gives a lot of comfort, a lot of freedom for the guys up top to take some risks, make some things happen. And Ayat Muhammad is just awesome at that. Joe Von Stork is a finisher too. If those guys end up being the Osman and Blow of this group, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I think you could really see them make a run.
And I think the other thing that Charlottesville has going for it is, the previous two runs that they made, they were still sort of second fiddle to either Western or Albemarle. Yeah. And it's a little different this time around.
They're the champs, man.
They should go into this tournament with confidence. It's kind of cool, between those three schools, once the playoffs start, they all branch off into their own.
Got to change next year with CHS moving into three. So.
Yeah, so we'll see. What kind of confidence Charlottesville goes into this tournament. If they come out region champs, that's just going to be a different feeling for them.
And who's standing in between them and region champs? Team you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
They now deal with Blacksburg.
Yeah, it's your turn, Charlottesville.
It's your turn to deal with Blacksburg, and they'll get a chance to play for, probably odds are good. We don't want to assume anything. A lot of games should be played, but odds are good that they're going to be facing off for a region title with Blacksburg. That should be a heck of a game. But the great thing is that Charlottesville, by virtue of continuing to win, they locked up the one seed. They get the chance to host that game. That's big to play on their turf, that big, wide turf at Charlottesville. That's
Charlottesville's home field does play a factor in things.
It
is a different field. It's FIFA length.
Yeah.
So if you're not used to it, it can throw you off a bit.
And they can get a crowd, man. We got to give it up. Charlottesville boys soccer, and you know, those fans have really been supportive in the past. It can get loud. It can get like that can be a big advantage too. So it should be a lot of fun to see CHS boys soccer and what they're able to put together in this run in the next couple of weeks. And then Monticello girls lacrosse, number one seed in Region 4A. They picked up the win we talked about earlier with Callie Smith. They picked up the win against Charlottesville. You know, they've got Josie Mallory. They've got Megan Whalen. You know, just a ton of kids who can really play. They're playing really well defensively right now. Sarah Francis Krebs is doing a nice job in the cage. You know, as that team kind of keeps building, odds are good that they run into Western again. And we could see them match up one more time, maybe two if they both get to the state. So it should be interesting to watch, you know, Monticello girls lacrosse in a year where they, you know, graduated Paige McLaughlin. They have really adjusted nicely to that. They are still putting up all kinds of numbers offensively. Callie Smith has really emerged as such a dangerous threat. It's really difficult to figure out any way to stop her. And if you do find a way to focus on her and lock her down, she's got a lot of friends coming to the table. Swartout, the freshman, is darn good too. So a lot of players who can play Monticello girls lacrosse, we'll get to see them. They take on Hanover Thursday in the next region game. So then it comes to Fluvanna baseball. Only lost one game in the Jefferson District. Heck of a run for the Flucos already.
Yeah, I guess for Fluvanna, it's figuring out your sort of pitching depth after the wards and seeing what these kids have in sort of crunch time. I mean, we've seen what this lineup can do. You got a guy like Jacob Kreitzer. You got the wards. There's just so much going on with Fluvanna from a roster standpoint.
We just got stats in for Fluvanna, and it's nuts. They got Kreitzer is hitting like .458. They get the wards. One is a 0.62 ERA. He's only given up two earned runs on the year. And then Andrew is floating just above one. I mean, the stats are off the charts for what Fluvanna's bringing to the table. I mean, Kreitzer has a ton of RBI, 8 home runs, 12 doubles. Like, they're hitting the ball really well. They're pitching well. They're taking care of business on both sides.
Yeah, and they've got so much experience from last year. They know what this tournament looks like. I mean, a couple of years ago, they dropped a game early in their conference play back when we were under that format. And I think it was just sort of them, they'd had a couple down years, and they get back into playoff play and just sort of new to it. And then last year, they looked very comfortable very early on. They ground out some wins. Did some gritty work in their region tournament last year. Hit the ball really well, and then relied on their defense. This year it's a little different. I feel like the starting pitching is just so dominant. We'll see what they can do to work behind that. That roster, I mean, the way they hit, and they guys that can hit for power, a lot of extra bases.
Ryan Groom.
Yeah, there's just and then a lot of sort of situational players like a Kyle Algieri.
Speaking of him, man, that guy hasn't had an error all year, man. His fielding percentage is 1,000%, like whatever. It's perfect.
Yeah.
So when you get a guy defensively at second base like that, nothing's getting past him. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and Kevin Ward over at first base when he's playing there, I mean, he is a vacuum cleaner. So you have a lot of confidence in your defense if you're Fulano. You got a lot of confidence in your pitching. That's a great place to be. And we'll see if we can get some good matchups. I mean, the final last year in that one was Fluvanna Western. Who knows if we'll get another one of those. But Fluvanna comes into this as the top dog. It's a little bit different feeling than last year. Last year was like, all right, we've now arrived. This year, they're the team to beat.
No question. So another one, Madison softball, going to be a number one seed after winning another Bull Run district championship. You know, they've done this without Hannah Johnson, who's out with an ACL, but they've got Logan Estes, Emily Seals gotten back. This is a really, we already know, man. We talk about Madison softball every spring, every single spring, because they're always really good, and they're geared up and getting ready to make another big run, would be my guess.
Yeah, and this is Estes' last go-around. Mm-hmm. They won it all 2 years ago. Made a deep run last year, but just couldn't quite go as far as they did. We'll see. We'll see with Madison. It's interesting when they branch off. Division II softball or Class 2A softball, you just never really know. You might run into just an absolute stud of a pitcher.
Way back in the day, they ran into Bath County's pitcher, and she ended up at JMU, and she was awesome. They played her down at Virginia Tech in like an early morning, like an 11 a.m. or that I was at. And it was like, all right, well, nobody can touch that kid. That's ridiculous.
And so you're going to see some games, maybe not early on in the region play, but later on, and then certainly if they advance to the state play, where it doesn't really matter how good the batting order is for the other team. You can't hit what they're throwing at you. And Madison has that ability, both with Seal and Estes. Mm-hmm. The cool thing for them is if they can split the innings up, I mean, the workload, that just makes such a huge difference, particularly on hot days. And, you know, it's a change of pace a little bit. I mean, they both throw so hard, but they have different stuff. So it'll be fascinating to see what Madison can do. I mean, that's such an experienced group. I mean, the pressure's sort of on for the seniors. They want to go out with a bang. But there's a lot of underclassmen on this team, and they've been through this tournament before. It'll be interesting to see how they sort of make themselves or assert themselves in this tournament going forward. But, Madison softball, pretty standard playoff team. I don't think we've ever seen them have a down year the entire time we've been around. They put us on the road many a time.
Down year for them is like, we lost in the region semis.
Yeah.
I mean, they're pretty darn good.
Yeah, so they've got the talent. They've got the tools. Let's see what they do.
So we talked about a lot of one seeds. We also want to throw out a dark horse each. One team that you feel like might have underperformed slightly or might be lurking, maybe has been young and has gotten a little better as the year has gone on. Let's start with baseball. You got a suggestion there.
I'm going to go with William Monroe Baseball. That's a team sitting at 11-7. They're coming off a loss to Brentsville, but they had beaten that team, one of the better teams in the Northwestern District. They'd beaten them at the end of April there, probably Monroe's best game. But they've just, been up and down a little bit in May, lost to Western, and then they outscored Manassas and Skyline 33-0 before they lost to Brentsville. So Monroe's one of those teams that kind of plays like that. The highs are high. And when you have a pitcher like Riley Owen and a really athletic roster.
Hunter Powell's been hitting the ball well.
And Alex Kinsey is just, he's having an amazing senior year.
Where is Alex Kinsey?
Football, basketball,
play?
Baseball. Like, he's just
crazy.
Yeah, but they got so many good guys. Braden Collier, they have the ability to make a big run. Jonathan Sexton's been playing for this team forever. He's finally a senior, and he can mash. Monroe's got the bats. They haven't hit as well as, particularly early on in the season, they were sort of frustrated by that. So we'll see if they warm up. They've seen a lot of great pitching. I mean, the nice thing is they got to play Orange. It's nice being able to play a Class 5 school when you're about to play in a Class 3 tournament. So they certainly have the coaching. Mike Maynard's been in these tournaments many a time. He knows how to put together a winning program and knows how to get guys fired up. And that's sort of key for this time and key for the personality that Monroe Baseball has. And just sort of a fiery group. I really like it. We'll see how many innings they can get out of him when Riley Owen is on, assuming he's 100% healthy. I know he's sort of dealing some arm issues earlier on in the month. If he's got his stuff, that's a team to keep a watch on.
Yeah. For me, dark horse, I'm going to tell you, it's a true dark horse. A sixth seed in the Region 5D girls lacrosse tournament. Almar Girls Lacrosse. All right, here's my take. Picking Almar
Hot
Girls.
Coming.
Yeah, here's my thing. Almar Girls Lacrosse. This is a team who's always really good. So, yeah, it's fine. But like a six seed, that's wildly low for them as a team. And they went out last night and whomped the third seed. Just took care of business. Really knocked them out. Now they play a Patrick Henry Roanoke team that they beat 13-12 back in March. All right. A lot of young players on the Almar Girls Lacrosse team. They win one more. They're looking at a state tournament bid, man. That's pretty awesome considering how many young, players that they've had step in, and also a group of, older players who have been hugely influential in what they do in this program, in the field hockey program. Just pretty awesome. Kelsey Myers, had five goals, Monday night, a really big performance from her. she's been playing really well. Ton of draw controls. Anna Murray's playing really well. Ella Doffelmeyer's coming on. I mean, just a lot of players who are really talented and can get things done. Coleman in goal. I mean, they've got defenders. They've got some things happening. I just like how Omar Girls Lacrosse is playing right now. I think that they've got a chance to make a run out of that sixth seed and you know, shock some people.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a sort of a true testament to the strength of sort of local lacrosse, Central Virginia lacrosse. Yeah. That, you know,
taking those losses.
Maybe our record's not that great, but we're playing great teams.
Almore not only plays like the Monticellos and Westerns that they're required to in the district, but then they also have to take on, you know, they take on, I think it was St. Cat's. You know, I mean, they went and played some of the private schools too.
Yeah, and those private school Division I teams are no joke.
Yeah, it's legit, man.
Yeah,
it's not messing around. Western will tell you that after playing Stab. You know, because Western's doing some of that too. Like girls lacrosse Division I in the private schools is nothing to mess around with.
Yeah, those girls are playing in college and good college.
Yeah, a lot of them. So. Two dark horses for you. Ton of one seeds. We got a lot of strong teams. A lot of region playoff action happening over the next few days. And we'll check back in with you next week once we see how some of these teams shake out.